listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and you are on the Save the Marriage podcast. Welcome to the podcast where we help you find your way forward no matter what's happening in your relationship, even if you're on the front side, trying to make sure that your relationship gets off to the best start. You want to avoid the bad stuff, or if your marriage is in trouble. Over the past few weeks, I've been introducing you to my team because they are some very wise, talented people, and I want you to hear from them from their own wealth of knowledge. You hear from me every week now for, I think we're over 250 episodes. And so this is a chance to bring in some people and you hear the outside view. Today, it's kind of fun because this is my coach on the other side of the world. Because we have clients that come to us through the internet from all around, Dave Crispin is with us, and Dave is from Down Under, originally from UK, but from Down Under, and he provides a wealth of knowledge and coaching for that side of the world that's kind of hard for us to deal with because of time zones, but also talks with people around the world. Dave is a talented guy who was awakened to self-help long ago and then had a couple of bumps in his own life that he'll tell you about as he talks about how he came to coaching and shares with you some wisdom of how you might be applying some things in your own life, in your own relationship. So let's jump over to the interview with Dave Crispin. Dave, thank you so much for being here. This is kind of an interesting thing because now I'm talking to you as you're on pretty much the other side of the world, not just in terms of sides of the world, but also hemisphere. So let's see, you are kind of coming out of summer right now. we're coming out of winter, I hope. And I'm ending my day and you're beginning your day. So Dave, thank you so much for making time. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, no problem, Lee. Yep, you're right there. We're just going into winter. And it's been a funny year this year. Our summer has been quite mild, and by Perth standards, 35, 36 is quite mild. We normally get up to sort of 40s, but all of a sudden we've had some heat coming through, which can be quite oppressive sometimes. But, yeah, really enjoying it. Plenty of time down the beach and walking up in the bush. Life's good.
Yes. So I have to just translate for anybody who is not in the metric world. that was Celsius. That was not cold. That was hot temperatures. And, you know, what I always like talking to you, Dave, because your accent always makes you sound just brilliant right off the bat. So let's just jump in a little bit into what we're here about. And that is the fact that you are on my team of coaches, but more than that, you have a history of coaching. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about how you got to here, how you got to be in coaching and to this particular place in time.
Okay, thanks, Lee. To be honest, in all my different jobs that I've had in throughout my working life, I've always been one of those persons that people can go to if they have an issue or if there's something which they've got a problem with. I've always been one of those people that they're drawn to. So it's sort of go and have a chat with Dave, or if you've got something, he's probably experienced it, so he might be able to point you in the right direction. And then when I got into my sort of early 20s, my mum passed away, and that was quite sudden, and that was quite impactful on myself and my brother and my dad. And I sort of thought, well, you know, where to from here? So I had various jobs in various industries and sort of plodded along, and I met someone and we decided to come over to Australia and start a new life because there was a lot of painful stuff back in the UK where I grew up. And then, over here in Australia, in Perth, in Western Australia, we forged a life for ourselves. I had a daughter, a young daughter. She was 6 weeks old when we came over here to Perth. And, yeah, life was going pretty good. And same thing, various jobs I had. And a lot of books that I read, for some reason, I was drawn to sort of the self-help type books, the motivational type books, because in whatever I did, I always tried to do my best and be the best. It's part of my nature. And then as life went on, back in early 2000, my partner passed away. And we were together for about 26 odd years. And as you can imagine, that was quite a significant event in my life. And yeah. I was quite lost. So I sort of jumped straight back into my reading. I found a lot of comfort in my reading, and that's where it really started. Was my sort of passion for learning about myself and what I was experiencing, and then I decided that my career, my life had to change, and that was when I started investigating how I could use that, how I could use my life experiences. And the sort of the motivation that I had to channel it somewhere. And that's when I decided to start on a coaching course. Mm. So for a year I did a life coach course, and then from there on it just sort of snowballed into where we're at now.
You know, it's always interesting when I hear people that step into coaching, they often have been coaches all their life. They just didn't know to put that on there. And so they were already coaching in the way they approach life. And so their training was basically on how to formalize that, you know, not how to become that. You already had those pieces, but how to formalize that. And the other thing that I've noticed is that it's often some life event that turns it around, something that wakes you up and says, hey, you know, there's got to be a change for you, a very significant loss in your life that brought you to much more of a raw base place of where you had already been. You just kind of turned it into what you did.
Yeah, so what that actually gave me was a structure. Mm-hmm. It gave me some sort of format to follow. And then after a while, when I'd sort of reflected on my experiences, and the same thing happened, people came to me still and sort of had a chat. And especially when they knew the area that I was working in, you know, they'd sort of say, well, how can I go? And because I'd had that structure and I'd put things in place myself to help me understand what I was experiencing, and sounds a bit cliche, but the journey that I was embarking on, mm-hmm. And also for my daughter, because she was going through her adolescence. So it basically came together. It came together, and it actually started to move forward. So the direction led me for a while there, and then until I recognised that more and more people that I were talking to had issues around their relationships, that's really when I found my niche, or I think you call it niche.
we'll go with yours. It sounds better.
Sounds more sophisticated.
Yeah, yes, it does.
So I found my niche, and that's when the pieces started to come together. That's how it came out, and that's where I am today.
You know, and what the other piece of this is that the coaches understand their role in sometimes different ways. And so I'm wondering, as you've talked about that, of how it came together with these life events and your training, and that gave you kind of a methodology. How do you see your role as a coach? What's the role that you play when you're working with clients?
It's an interesting question. It's very easy. Being as most of us are, we are caring people, and that's why we do the job that we do. But to remain professional and to be able to help people is not to get too invested in their issues or their problems, because then your judgment gets cloudy, and all, then you sort of take on the role as sort of the teacher or someone that has all the answers. But the problem lies is that if you don't have the answers, then they look at you and they think, well, you know, why hasn't he got the solution? So coaching for me was really about trying to get the best out of my client, and letting them have that journey, letting them dictate where they want to go. So basically they were the ones that were accepting the position that they're in, and I just help facilitate that. And the good thing about this system that we have here is that sometimes that and we use that, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Well, we can offer some of that don't know up. So then they've got an idea of what they don't know, and then they can start to work on that. So that's why I enjoy the coaching, because it gives them ownership of the issues that they're facing, and we can just give them those tools, the material that we have and the training that we've had. We can just give them some of those tools to help them move forward in their direction that they want to go in.
You know, you and I were talking about the martial arts stuff, and it occurs to me of how much of that is true with the coaching, because, you know, if you're taking martial arts, the teacher can show you, and at some point though, you've got to take it in yourself and say, okay, I've got to master it. They can't just be the one carrying the knowledge. You know, I've got to do the mastery work. And it's the same with coaching. We have to let the client do the work, even while we might be pointing the way. And it sounds like that's kind of what you're pointing towards.
Yeah, self-discovery, basically. So it's sort of planting the seed and then helping them nurture it so that they can make it grow, so that they can sort of, you know, point it in the direction that they want to take it. So that's why I really like what we do. It's not that we have all the answers, because we don't. It's that we can help get those answers out of them, so that they can be the best version of themselves that they can be.
Yeah, I often talk about the fact that the client is the best tool to do this work. We're not.
Absolutely.
A few times I've had people who suggested that they would pay me lots of money if I would be the one to save their relationship. And my response is, you know, as much as I would love to make lots of money that way, that's not a possibility. That the real work comes from the person, and the coach's job is to help that person do the work, not do the work for them.
That's right. And that's what we do. And that's why I love what we do, is that we give them the tools. We give them the skills, which they can actually take and mold them to their situation. Because what we don't want to do here is build up a relationship of codependency. So it's really about, you know, at the end of the relationship that we have with our clients, it's that they've got something there, that they've got something which they can actually use and develop. And then later on down the track, they can revisit their plan. They can look at what they've written down, and in our time we spend together, they can use that to navigate some of the other issues that are coming up that may present in their relationship down the track. And there will be. But at least they've been exposed to something which is different that they weren't aware of. So that's why I find this really useful, really valuable, is that they actually take notes, they make a plan, and they use that in that time. But then if something comes up down the track, they can revisit it and maybe tweak that to help them get over the situation that they're faced at that time.
So I just want to kind of highlight that for a minute, that one of the things we do as the Save the Marriage team is that we do encourage clients to have a plan, a written down plan, not like a plan like, oh yeah, I thought about that yesterday, but a plan that's written down that we get to tweak and improve. And there's a other side to that, which is that plan, as you're talking, has to come from the person. We can't just hand over a pre-printed, preset plan, because it's based on the person who's carrying out the plan, the person who is the other side of the receiver of that their plan, and the relationship they've built over time. And that's where that's where it stops being, it's where it's not consulting. You know, a consultant will walk in and say, here's your plan, go do it. Coaching is a dialogical process to get that plan based on the uniqueness of the client. And I think, Dave, that's what you're really pointing to here, is that's what you you find as the kind of the fun part of this process.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, we're all unique. Every single one of us is different. Therefore, there is no one size fits all. Mm-hmm. And when people say to me, yep, okay, I've got access to all the material here. And I said, that's great. And I really encourage you to use that. But I said, when you read it carefully, because you may discount some of that material thinking that it's not relevant or it's not pertinent to your situation. Mm. But I say to them that, you know, read it carefully. Take some of those things out that you think are relevant. But as coaches, what we can do, we can look at some of those other areas that you may skip over, and we may use those and sort of tweak those for your unique situation. So it is very much a personalized type relationship where we understand your situation from a different perspective, obviously, because you've got those blinkers on that you can just see what's in front of you. And often in the situation that they're in, that's quite cloudy. So we're able to stand back and look at the big picture.
Yeah. So you said those are some of your favorite things. Let's talk about some of the things you love about this. Let's talk about what your favorite thing of the coaching process is. What do you most love about the coaching?
That's pretty easy. When you get a call or an email 6 months down the track and someone says, my relationship is the strongest it's ever been. Mm. That's really about me, and the coaching process is about the client. But I get a buzz out of that when people, when you know that you're on that call and, you know, despair just reigns. They're really sort of lost. They don't know where they're going, what sort of direction. And then you actually start to unpack some of that, and then you start to give them a little bit of direction, and then they, okay, yep, I can see how that's playing. And then the next time you have a call, they've made a little, you know, they've made some gains, a few steps forward. And they will trip up, but if they embrace the process and they start to move forward and make some gains, and it may be over a period of months, but then, you know, when you finish that relationship and then down the track, you hear that things have turned around and they've really got something that they wanted. They've got something now which was better than what they had before. Because the relationships that they have after an issue are never the same. It's a different version. But now they've had the opportunity to reflect on what wasn't working, and they're able to build and create something different. And that's what I love. When they come back and they say, yeah, we took that on board, I've actually developed that, and I've sort of gone off and I've got some more education around that piece because I really found that beneficial. That's what puts a big smile on my face, and that's why I love doing what I do.
Yeah. So sometimes there's a slight delay before you get to your favorite part.
Yes. Yeah. 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 That's right.
That's all right. We're willing to wait it out.
Yes.
So what would you, when you think about that favorite thing, so what's the other side of that is, what do you think of to get to that phase where it's your favorite, what's your ideal client? What does that look like? The person who is the ideal client for your own approach?
I'd say my ideal client is someone that's willing to work, someone that recognizes that what they have control of is themselves. So rather than when they jump on the call and, my partner doesn't see this or they don't see that, my husband or my wife, it's basically them, and they haven't taken ownership that what they can control is their world. They can't make their partner do. They can't make their partner see. It's really about them. So my ideal client is someone that recognises that they've got control of their world. If they start to move forward and grow, and we talk about it's not about being a better person, it's about taking on board some new skills, new understandings, and moving forward. When they have that clarity, they're the type of people that I really like working with. So someone that recognises there's a problem, and they jump straight in with both feet to actually start working and making a difference.
Excellent. Cool. Very cool. And, you know, one of the things I know about coaches is that we all have this bucket of knowledge. And so I'm wondering, Dave, for you, what have you discovered as maybe a couple of things that you think that every couple ought to understand, every person should understand as they're in the midst of these relationship issues?
I can actually bring that back to me as well. Is that in the midst of it, when you feel that, you know, there's no way forward and there's nothing that you can do, it's about that resilience. It's the ability to pick yourself up, dust yourself down, and start moving forward again. Even when you feel, you know, when you're in the depths of despair, even when you feel that there's nothing in front of you, there normally is. Even if it's small, it's moving towards that. So I think resilience is one of the biggest things. And if you've got resilience, that makes a whole lot of difference. It really does. And the other thing which also helped me and does help me and a lot of my clients is not concentrating so much on the small stuff. You know, when there's a small issue that comes up to blow that out of proportion, it's try and look at the bigger picture. It's really about acknowledging that there are other things out there, and it's not just about this small thing that's causing the problem. It's trying to invest energy elsewhere. And that it's sort of about being mindful, being present, showing up and engaging in that present moment, and not concentrating on some of those things that have been and have gone, that are in the present now, and being able to engage in that. I don't know whether that answered your question.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that recognizing that we all deal with small stuff, and that usually is what derails lots of people. You know, we get wrapped up in the small stuff and miss the bigger picture of what we're really working towards, of making something that's, you know, bigger than that, those small pieces. And I think that's, you point to that so well. And your story itself is pointing to the importance of the fact that, you know, that there is loss in life, and that we have to make the most of it, not to get caught in those small things.
The minutiae.
Great stuff, Dave. So, Dave, you know, I'm guessing that there are people who are listening who may or may not be on your side of the world, who there's something that resonates there. And even as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking of the technology of this, you know, that we can be on the opposite side of the world, even with a little interference through the sound, we can still communicate with each other. And others can do that too. People can reach out to you and say, hey, I think I would love to do some work with you. And are able to set that up. So, Dave, if someone wanted to contact you just to check that out, what would be the best way to start that?
Via email, dave@savethemarriage.com. That's via email. I have WhatsApp and Skype. So both those are worldwide. They're globally. There's plenty of opportunity there to reach out. If the time doesn't actually marry up with where we're at, that's not an issue, because I'm normally on my phone pretty much right into the evening and early morning. So it won't be too long before I get in contact with you. So, there's plenty of channels, plenty of opportunities.
Excellent. Dave, thanks so much for spending time. I know you're getting ready to start your day as I'm getting ready to end my day. So thanks for taking your time out. And I appreciate all the work you do for people really everywhere, but certainly on the other side of the world, so that we have an impact around the world through the Save the Marriage program. Thanks for being here tonight or today, this morning.
Yeah, no problem, Lee. Take care.
You too.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.